This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Here we go. It is the inaugural episode of a brand new podcast series that we call Unfiltered with the Hitman and Carla.
Our very first one.
And each month we'll have a new episode and where we'll highlight society, Wichita society, cultural issues, people in our community. So just a broad range of things as it relates to our community here in Wichita. And for our inaugural episode, Carla, I thought we ought to bring on our own chief of police, Gordon Ramsey, and District 1 Councilman Brandon Johnson, to talk about this discussion that we're hearing a lot about in news and other platforms about defunding the police.
It's a big topic right now. And I think the biggest thing is informing everybody about what is it.
Well, that's exactly right. And so we thought we'd go right to the people that really are probably in the eye of the storm more than anybody.
Right.
And let's welcome them to our first episode of Unfiltered with the Hitman and Carla. Chief Ramsey, are you there, sir?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for making time to be with us. Councilman Brandon Johnson from District 1 for the City of Wichita, are you with us, sir?
Yes, I am here. Thanks for inviting me to the dialogue.
Well, we appreciate you guys making time to be able to have the public have access to your thoughts and opinions about this. I guess first, Councilman Johnson, I'll go to you because you're the guy that might be in the hottest seat out of everybody in this whole conversation because of your district. It's a very diverse district. There's been a lot of activity within District 1, and maybe the loudest echoes have been coming from District 1 as it relates. What's your take on this defunding the police?
Well, first, all the tough questions get to go to Chief Ramsey. I get the easy ones.
Noted.
So defunding the police has several different definitions. Some of the folks are talking about complete abolishment of the police department. There's other folks, and I think a majority of people who talk about reprioritizing funds to things that are community support. So looking at social workers, or here in Wichita, maybe something like ICT. One, put more funds in the housing, all of those things that empower the community. And I think those are things we all agree with. It's just looking at how do you get those dollars to go into there versus what government's job really is, and that's protecting people and property and things like that. So the discussion has different facets. A lot of the folks that we've been hearing from in Wichita are really focused on the prioritizing things in the way of making sure our officers have that type of support, getting more social workers, looking at our budget and how much are we putting into housing and homeless services. And we're doing a lot of that already. But of course, you know, we always can do more.
Councilman Johnson, I got a follow-up question on that.
Mm-hmm.
Has anyone presented any type of budgetary idea and or plan as to what the amount of dollars that they're talking about and where they think it ought to go?
So we haven't received a specific dollar amount. There are different groups like the Racial Profiling Board that have highlighted some of our different units or different budget items and just putting those dollars towards different efforts. But what we have been doing is working with all of these groups. We've had one call so far with everyone. We've had a few individual calls and meetings. The chief has been at different meetings where we're listening to those specific priorities, but then trying to figure out a way to kind of help our department work towards that, find other grants and other opportunities to fund those things as well.
Chief Gordon Ramsay, I want to come to you, sir, because the one person who would be impacted the greatest if monies are reallocated in different directions. And I saw you recently on a local newscast where you stated that you didn't think defunding the police was something you were very enthusiastic about. You didn't say it quite that way. But kind of give us your take on this idea of defunding the police. And are there other things that we could or should be doing to systemically address all of the concerns and ultimately reduce crime?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The terms defunding the police, to me, are divisive, right? And it really kind of loses the whole point of it, which is many cases, police are doing things that they shouldn't be involved in, right? Mental health, homelessness, drug treatment, the amount of calls that we get that really are more social services oriented are significant. When you get beyond the term defund police, essentially that's what they're saying is that, you know, there needs to be more money for these other issues that our society's having. And that's nothing new to me. We've been saying it in my profession for 20 plus years that too much of these other issues are falling on the backs of police. So, but on the other hand is that I'm passionate about the role police play in society. I see our officers helping people every minute of every day doing great things. That really has gotten lost in this narrative right now.
You know, I'm glad you said that, Chief, because granted, there may be some challenges in other communities. There's certainly no question about that. Would you agree, Carla?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, we've seen the stories. I mean, they're endless out of Dallas and Minneapolis and other communities that probably don't want to be at the forefront of that headline. But I get the sense, Chief, since you have become the head of our department here in Wichita, that the relationship with you in particular and with the department has significantly changed in how you interact with the community. I think a lot of that starts with you. What's your take on that as you look at the, you can't really place the national problems or the isolated communal problems and plug it into Wichita.
Exactly. When I got here, you know, I met Brandon, I think before I even started. And he was involved in a lot of social activism, and he wanted to make some changes to the system and the way we do things. And you know, it wasn't about just blocking a street like some of the things we're seeing now. He wanted to do some constructive work to make things better for our communities. And I found that there's a lot of Brandons with that same mentality where they want to work with police to make it better for everybody. They want to make the police better. They want to make their neighborhoods better. And that kind of, you know, constructive partnerships makes a difference. And we have really made some great strides. Unfortunately, in the last couple of months, you know, we've lost a lot of people have forgotten the progress that we've made.
You know, Chief Ramsay, I recently discovered and learned from one of your officers. I was at another meeting with another organization that was wanting to impact change in our community. And I discovered that you actually have a program that you've instituted in the department that relates to kids, and I speak not having the full recall knowledge of the program, and it's a project of some sort that you're using in the department to work with kids in the community. Can you speak to that briefly?
Oh, absolutely. This was initiated by Officer Donnell Watson, and it falls straight in line with my beliefs on that the police are here, particularly around youth, to coach, guide, and mentor those that are going astray or that come from homes where there's issues where we're getting involved. And we take an active role in helping these kids versus looking at it through a law enforcement lens. So Officer Watson has taken this initiative on. We're expanding it. We've created a juvenile intervention unit, which kind of flips traditional police juvenile work on its head, where we are really focused on keeping kids out of the system and hooking them up with resources and opportunities to succeed versus waiting for them to fail. And that's kind of the gist of the program.
Well, and I like that because I remember right as you got to Wichita, shortly after you got to our community, you and I had the pleasure to speak. And that was one of the things that you talked about about having building a culture that grows from the ground up and out that over time will impact change. While you try to manage all of the other things, you got to deal with immediately.
Absolutely. And it's hiring the right people and setting the right vision and tone. I heard from ComCare, our local mental health provider, this week, that one of our officers volunteered, wants to go and spend time on answering their crisis line so he can help people more and learn more about mental health. You know, that talks about this officer's character, his care and concern for people in the community. And, you know, that's what people aren't hearing right now. And that's what's really sad, because we want the best and brightest people to come into police work. And if we keep kicking cops in the chops, no one's going to want to do the job. And when you call 911, you want the best people to come to your home. You want to recruit the best people. But until we get some people saying, hey, you know what, we need police, we need the best, and you should do it because we need people of your character, you know, that's a concern a lot of us have. Are we going to get the bottom of the barrel because of the current way police are being treated?
Councilman Johnson, the politician, the man that has to get the votes from the public to serve the public, and it is a noble calling, sir. To hear the chief say that, I mean, he raises a very good point. How do you feel the police role in the community, particularly as it relates to your district, has it improved, in your opinion?
Oh, yeah. I mean, in my opinion and in the data. You know, we, the chief and I, did an article a couple of years ago that talked about if you were black in the Northeast Wichita, the data showed you were more likely to have police excessive force and get ticketed. And the Racial Profiling Board just submitted some information to show that since Chief Ramsey started, that number's been cut in half.
Wow.
The immediate year after, it dropped another 10,000. So, you know, there are, we're not going to say we're perfect, but things are improving. One thing that would be even better in our community, because I still hear, you know, where are the police? We don't have enough. We don't see them. They're not visible. We still need more officers, and mm-hmm. we need more community policing opportunities where officers can get out of their vehicles. Right now, most of the time when they clock in, they go call to call to call. They see people at their worst. That's what they deal with every day. They don't have an opportunity all the time to get out and help, and they like that type of thing. So if we have more officers, if we have more community policing opportunities, we could have an even better police force, and people would see them. They would be visible, and we could have that. The training and everything has drastically changed with Chief Ramsey. The way we engage things, the de-escalation techniques have been great. He's told me a couple stories about times where officers are at a site for a couple hours, making sure no one gets hurt. Everybody goes home safely. You know, those are the stories that are not out there. Those are the things that I've been trying to work with the chief on, continuing to improve. So from the district, you hear a little bit of some of those complaints that we hear from the protesters, but we also hear a lot of the good things about officers doing the right thing.
So here is my question, I guess, maybe for both of you. Like Brandon, you just said, the question still is, you know, where are the police? We're needing more, maybe on the streets, just more in the community. But at the end of the day, when we're talking about defunding the police, if we're going to take some of those funds and move them to different departments, I just think that's part of the struggle, too, is moving some of that money to these other programs. But if we're needing more police, that money will no longer be there. So I guess the question is to you also, Chief Ramsey, what do you think about some of these funds leaving the police department to go to some of these other programs for mental health and other needs in the community?
Well, I understand the need. We definitely need more mental health funding, chemical dependency, homeless funding. But the bottom line is that our police department is one of the leanest, bigger city police departments in this country.
Oh, wow.
When you compare us to our peers, you know, and we have had some defunding over the years. You know, we lost our helicopter several years ago, and we are very lean. When the counselor talks about our officers going call to call, that is true. I worked two Saturdays ago, and it was busy throughout the city, and very rarely was there not police officers that were on a call. And one of my obligations is to make sure when you dial 911 that we're going to have officers available.
Yeah.
And sometimes in our city that doesn't happen because we are so lean. And that's just the reality. When you compare our two closest comparables, are Omaha and Tulsa, each of those departments have 200 more police officers than we have.
Wow.
And the other big part of this is we want to create opportunities for our officers to engage with the public in positive times when there's not a crisis going on and have positive exchanges. When these guys and gals are going call to call, we lose that opportunity to just stop and talk to the people sitting out in their yard, you know, and just have a dialogue when there's not something bad happening.
You know, Chief, I got to imagine, you know, as we talked about earlier, the national narrative and just plugging it into Wichita, and it just doesn't fit. And it's got to work. You got to feel some way about that as well, Councilman Johnson, especially when you're trying to inform and engage with the electorate. But some of the national narratives that people are saying as to reasons as to why defunding the police should happen. I was checking out this website, the AFSC.org website, and they list six reasons why they say it's time to defund the police. One of which they say police was established to maintain white supremacy. Maybe. But is that the role of police now? And another thing that they argue is that policing doesn't keep us safe. Whereas on the other hand, Councilman Johnson, you've informed us that the numbers are actually starting to go down. So it's got to be frustrating for both of you guys, I would think, that for some in the community who may not be keenly aware as to the reality of what's happening here on the ground in Wichita, America. How do you manage that and really get people to buy in and understand and believe? Because let's face it, Chief Ramsey, you're the man. So he's telling me it's okay. It's not that. Well, of course I expect him to tell me that. But how do you do that and get that story out there? Councilman Johnson, has there been any discussion within the halls of city government and then the city manager's office on informing the public about the reality of what's happening here in Wichita?
Yeah, that's been an ongoing frustration for my whole term in office. I've really wanted to find creative ways to get the word out about what our department's doing. Even during my campaign, we talked about how we worked with the chief and the department on changing the gang file policy. There was one story about it. There's still a lot of folks who don't realize the policy's changed. There are folks who don't realize that during No Ferguson Here, when we demanded body cameras for law enforcement, so I have to apologize to the chief. I'm part of the reason we don't have that helicopter anymore. They used the funding from the helicopter to get the body cameras. So the department has been responding to the community for quite some time. It's just keeping that narrative out there. Oftentimes, the criticisms only come when things happen nationally or if something happens locally. But we haven't had recent local issues that are like national issues. And it's just really trying to get that out during the times when people aren't paying as much attention. Like, hey, this is what we're doing. Policies change. De-escalation's working. You know, we aren't seeing the engagement that we've seen in the past. It's just continuing to keep that conversation going. Even now with some of the activists who have sent in demands, we responded. The 8 can't wait. We were already doing all of that stuff. It just wasn't written in policy. Okay. So when that was presented to us, Chief Ramsey worked with the department. They wrote it down. Signature happened. Policy was codified at that point. So practice became policy. We're doing all of these things. It's just trying to get it out there to let people know Wichita is not these other cities. You know, we have our issues that we are working on, but as you can see from the data, it's not just taking our word for it, things are changing. Even now, one of the top issues what folks would tell me before being in office and even during was they would be harassed by law enforcement. You know, their taillight would be out and they get pulled over. They felt profiled. Well, Chief Ramsey had been working before I was in office with the Urban League, I think Dewan Wash, a few others, on this Lights On initiative. It took several years, I think 3 or 4 years, but here we are. lights on as a program. And now if you have a tail light out and you get pulled over, an officer can give you a voucher to go get it fixed.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that. Yeah.
And you don't get a ticket.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we, again, are taking these steps. It's taken a while, and I know people don't like how long it takes, and I don't either sometimes, but we're taking the time to make sure things are done right, that we can address those issues. That was one of the top ticket issues, so now it's a top voucher issue. You can get that fixed. It keeps you from getting into the legal system. It keeps you from having to pay a ticket. All it takes you is the 20 or 30 minutes it takes to get your light fixed. So we're working towards it. We're just going to keep putting out that information. I think the majority of people can see that things are changing, and we're going to keep pushing that. And as folks bring other issues, we'll address them as they come.
You know, I'm glad to hear you say that, Councilman Johnson, because let's face it, one of the liabilities in a democracy is that the wheels of government sometimes from the outside looking in move very slow.
Mm-hmm.
But there is progress being made, and I think people need to know and understand that, and sometimes it's got to be difficult. You know, Chief, I want to come back to you a little bit because I know it's got to be tough. When national stories like George Floyd,
Breonna Taylor.
Yeah, I mean, these are tough stories. And one of the things that I respected about you, that you were one of the very first chiefs in the nation that immediately came out after the George Floyd incident and said, hey, that was a crime.
Took acknowledgement.
How does that play with the officers within your department when they see their guy? Do they feel like you betrayed them? Or I got to think that they realize that that wasn't the right thing either.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's no debating that that is one of the most disturbing videos of a police officer action that I've seen in my life. And it makes me angry at how indignant that officer was while he's on George Floyd. And the impact of that officer's decisions has thrown us back decades.
Mm.
And all the good work that our cops have been working on, like, you know, I mean, Steve Gerald, you name the officers in Wichita that have worked so hard to build relationships, a lot of that has just gone down the drain. And it's demoralizing. And it's very upsetting because I don't think that was the first time, judging by that officer's actions, the first time he mistreated someone.
Yeah.
And but yet, there's no other profession where when an officer screws up, does it have the impact on a profession like it does in policing? And you know, that's one of the things that we need to realize is that majority of our cops are good people. They want to do the right thing. But what feeds a lot of the issues we have is you know, economic and racial disparities. There's 15 or so topics that I see it. I've seen it throughout my career, whether it's education, medical care, housing, employment, you name it. Those disparities all feed into, you know, the issues we have in the criminal justice system. And when there's a major police misconduct issue, it is the flashpoint for all those disparities that we are continuing to ignore. You know, we're focusing on defunding the police, but really these issues go deeper than police, and we're not having that discussion. You know, we're not talking about the importance of education. One quick story, you know, we know if we get kids reading at grade level by fourth grade, chances of graduating from high school are significantly higher. Last year, we put cops in elementary schools to read to kids, to encourage them to read, to help them with the graduation rate. You know, when they graduate, they commit less crimes, and they're going to have a better life. We're doing all this stuff and you know, trying to make things better. Right now, it's all about how bad the police are. And we really need to get beyond that and look at the big picture and making some significant changes in our society.
So with that being said, Chief Ramsey, you mentioned earlier defunding is just not necessarily the answer. So in your opinion, what do you think are some other options that can be considered or discussed just as alternatives?
Well, so we need to find funding for mental health treatment, homelessness, chemical dependency. If I had a meth addict come in to me today and say, Gordon, I am committing burglaries to feed my habit, and I want to stop. Can you help me get into treatment? If I could get him into treatment, we're looking at a minimum of 6 months. Something's wrong with that. We've got to do better.
Mm.
We've got to really dig into these issues that are feeding a lot of our crime. And you know what? You know, my goal is to the point where police don't have, we don't have to be responding to 911 calls because we don't have issues. But we've got a long ways to go. And before we defund the police, we need to find the funding for these other treatment options and other societal ills that we are, that's on the shoulders of police right now. When we start funding those, maybe we can look and say, hey, you know what? Maybe we can cut back on some cops because we're just not having the issues like we were. But we're not there.
You know, Chief, I've got a double-tiered question. Councilman Johnson, it's a follow-up for you as well. Chief, it's great to hear you say that because in the conversations that I've had the pleasure to have with Officer Watson, who is one of the great officers in your department, and I don't think people even can begin to imagine the things that he has to deal with on a daily basis in his job. He asked me what I thought was the number one issue that we needed to address in our community. And immediately, without question, my response was literacy. Because one of the biggest challenges that even Officer Watson had shared with me is that he's dealing with people that can't even read. And so we've got adults that can't read. They go through our educational system. They get out into the world. They never learn to read. So they're living a life of frustration from the simplicity of the fact that they can't read. So if there's one thing that needs to be addressed off the top is literacy. To address what you were talking about, and now Councilman Johnson, my question to you, sir, is what other areas in the totality of the budgets within the city of Wichita, have you guys sat down and looked at those areas outside of the police department and said, you know what? We can take this from there, and because you're moving pieces of the puzzle around on the board to make them all fit together. Have you had that discussion, Councilman?
Yeah, we actually started that discussion back in March. We knew that coronavirus was going to be an issue. We've had several budget retreats. The reality is every department has been cut. And even though folks talk about the additional monies going into the police department, that department has been cut, too. There's three positions that won't be filled. There's some other vacancies that will not be filled. And that additional money is really just salaries that were negotiated in the FOP contract, which is up for renegotiation next year. Every department's been cut. And to be honest, and I've said this publicly, all of our departments are underfunded and most of them are understaffed. And that was before coronavirus. That was before this push for law enforcement. When I became a council member, that was one of the biggest surprises I had seen. When people look at our $610 million budget and they go, oh, the city's got a lot of money. It's not really the case. A lot of that goes to salaries. Most of our dollars go to law enforcement and fire and public works. And we all of them need more funding. Park and Rec needs more funding. Our library system needs more funding. But we have a limited source of monies. And coronavirus made us look at some real deep cuts in a lot of areas. So could we cut more from other places? I think we began to take away from quality of life because the only other areas would be like police and fire or public works. Well, people are already mad about the potholes we have. People get mad about construction cones, but that's progress. If we cut more police, wait times could be longer. If we cut fire and more fire damage happens, I mean, we're just not in a real good space. And we're trying our best not to do deferred maintenance like we did during the recession, because that led to a lot of facilities getting out of code and just being in bad shape. So we're trying here. It's a tough situation. It's going to be a tough 2 to 3 years. Next year, we're looking at a $17 million deficit. This year was 11. It's just going to be tough. We're going to keep working to see what we can do through grants and other means. And maybe the economy recovers and we won't have the issues we're projecting.
I'm just glad we're having a discussion about it.
No doubt. No doubt. Chief Gordon Ramsey, the chief of the Wichita Police Department, sir, thank you for being on with us. City Councilman Brandon Johnson, District 1 for the city of Wichita. One final question, and I know the chief will be happy because I'm asking this on behalf of him. He doesn't know this yet, but... what do we got to do to get his helicopter back? Come on.
You know, technology has evolved, and the police department has several drones now,
there
so we don't need a big helicopter. They've got some good operators out there. So,
not good enough, right, Chief Ramsey? It's not the same. You can't ride in that damn drone.
No kidding. Jeez. How can I answer that?
Oh, my God. And by the way, Councilman, that was a great answer, by the way. I mean, he was ready, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, my God. Thank you both, gentlemen, for being on the inaugural episode of Unfiltered with the Hitman and Carla. And thank you so much for allowing yourself to be so transparent and vulnerable with some of these questions. We appreciate you, and we appreciate the job that you're doing in our community every single day. Thank you for being on with us.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.